Election Day is Tuesday, March 3rd. Of course, if you want to vote in any of the local races, you have to vote on the Republican side. The Democratic and Republican primaries will both be held that day, but you can only vote in one, even though we have open primaries here in the Lone Star State. We want to welcome to the program today Guadalupe County Precinct 2, Justice of the Peace, Cheryl Sockleben. She is seeking re-election, seeking the Republican nomination. Judge, good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Topic.
Well, good morning, Darren.
All right, so let's jump into this. Why are you seeking re-election? Tell us why you want another term in office.
Oh, I'm nowhere near done. I consider myself to be in my prime. That office is in tip-top, AAA++ shape. Our customers are well taken care of. People know what's going on. Cases don't sit. I'm nowhere near done. I'm ready to continue to serve as long as the people will have me.
You know, one of the things I think that's important as part of this conversation is I think we need to explain to people what the Justice of the Peace does. I think there's a lot of confusion. They call you, hey, that's Judge Sockleben. But this is not maybe what people are thinking about when they think of law and order and there's a criminal defendant there. Explain to them what the Justice of the Peace office does.
Okay, well, I guess if you were probably to just Google Justice of the Peace Courts, first off, what you'll find is that it's considered how it began was a people's court. So I tend, when I am on the bench and there's two people on the other side, we're all three just the same. I'm just the person that's listening to your facts, your evidence, your information, and hopefully be able to resolve it for everybody. But when it comes to Justice of the Peace, so we handle Class C tickets outside in the county, so municipal is inside the city limits. And we've increased on tickets from DPS tremendously. But for the most part, probably 65% to 70% of our office is civil. And so civil suits that land in our court are eviction cases, small claims cases, and primarily are credit card debt cases. And I use those credit card debt cases as a reminder that although we hope we never have to go to the JP office, we could all be at the JP office because things can happen to anybody at any time. So we do have quite a big docket on that on the civil side. And so for the most part, all of those cases they're civil. So there's no right or wrong. There's no criminals. There's no sentencing. It's just strictly what is the situation. Small claims. You dropped your car off at the mechanic. You gave him a down payment of $4,000. He has not done anything on the car, and you try to resolve it. How much does he owes? How much he owes back? How much time do you want to maybe give him? What kind of time am I going to give him to get that car returned? Things like that. So you really, small claims take a lot of time. They're not my favorite thing to do because I was not there. I do not know if you overran your water heater that messed up the floor or whether the floor that the guy that installed the floor didn't do it correctly. But the best I can do is take all the evidence that each of them have. They see me making my notes, connecting all my dots. And at the end of a case like that, I'm able to just come up with exactly what I think and explain how I came up with that. And I think everybody would leave knowing and understanding exactly what happened in court and how that decision was arrived to.
Whenever someone has their day in court, whatever that happens to be under maybe any of the scenarios you painted, or maybe it's something else, what's your approach to making sure that they are treated fairly? That maybe they don't agree with the outcome, but they will say the process was fair. I was treated fairly in that court. How do you approach that?
Well, first off, I'm going to tell you I'm very fair. So I thought about this earlier today, and although you're not going to make everybody happy, I would still tell you that 99% of the people walking out of my court, if you surveyed them, they would say she was extremely fair. She was nice. She was respectful. She listened to what I had to say. She didn't quite give me what I wanted. Oh, my God, I got evicted or I have to pay this ticket. But I would almost bet $1 million they will tell you they were treated fair.
How has the court changed over the years? You've been in office for some time now. When you started versus where we are now, what's the difference?
Oh, well, primarily the population. So Precinct 2, I want to walk every street, and I swear I want to knock on every door. And if I drive down one street that I haven't got to yet, I feel so guilty because I know I cannot get to them all. This precinct has just leaps and bounds in rooftops. And so many of them being on the north side of the county don't really even know. If you ask them who the county judge is, they would have no clue. Where the police department is, they don't know. They probably don't know where the sheriff's office is. And so, getting them to understand the importance of their vote for me to be able to continue to provide for the people who do need the services of the court is a challenge. But I would say that a few years back, I developed just an amazingly effective case management docket system, which is why I'm able to process so many cases. No ticket, no case filing is going to sit there for 30 days without us doing something on it. People appreciate that. They don't have to wonder what's going on with their case. We're letting you know it's coming up. And we kind of move things along. But with the triple in case filings in probably the last 2 or 3 years, you know, of us getting, like I say, triple number of the cases, and knowing that in the next term or even in the next couple of years, I know that those numbers are going to increase. But because we have such an effective system that works so wonderfully, we're prepared for that. I'm prepared for that with zero growth in staff. I have less staff now today than I had in 2011, and we are three times more productive because of a good system that we have, a good understanding. We are a team in there. We're all on the same page. We all feel for the customer. We agreed the other day if a customer came and our office happened to be closed, I think it would break all three of our hearts. All three of us would be devastated to know that somebody drove from San Marcos and the door was closed. But I'll tell you, if you ever did that, my cell phone number's outside on that door, and it says, if you are here and this door is closed for any reason, I can take care of anything over the phone, call my cell, and we'll do that.
So tell me about the docket system. And I know this is sort of getting into the weeds, but I want people to understand what you're saying, that you've created this system that makes things more efficient. So what did you guys do that's different?
You know, it'd be really hard to kind of tell the whole process, but let's just take tickets in, for instance. When an officer gives you a ticket, he's going to give you a due date. Okay, the following first of the month, whether it was due on the 3rd of January or the 20th of January, we're going to pull out all of January. First of the month of February, Cassandra's going to mail out a sweet note. You missed your due date. The judge offers this payment plans, community service, indigent form, 30 days, just call the court. We can do anything to help you with your ticket. Just please call the court. That 30 days goes by. Some come out, of course, to be worked on, but the ones that have not called go to the next step. Nice little fluorescent card that says you're in pre-warrant status, really asking that you give us a call so that you can avoid any sort of arrest in the future. And at that point, Melinda Escobar will make two phone calls. So she calls you twice. So I know that our office has sent you three due dates and two phone calls in every effort to avoid a warrant. So when I issue the warrants, which I do myself, of about 70 to 80 a month, my heart's breaking because I know you've had like all these opportunities. All you have to do is call. I don't care if your $20 comes 6 months from now and you can only pay $20 every 6 months. Fine, then you'll never get a warrant. You will not get a warrant as long as you are communicating with our office. We are there to help you get that done with options of ways to keep it off your record, things that you can do to take care of everything. So criminal, that's that process. It's brilliant. And in the civil, I just go by dates. You know, if they haven't been served in 90 days, they're going on a dismissal docket. That's the law. If they're a small claims, you've got 2 weeks to respond. Somebody hasn't responded to your lawsuit, you're going to be on the docket in 4 weeks. Credit card cases, of which I'm telling you, we look today between now and the end of February, probably 260 civil cases, and I'll ballpark. Less than 20 would be eviction or small claims. That's all credit card debt cases. As much time as they need. If you come in, please work with the company, take your time. I want that to happen before judgment any day. So those cases, which aren't even in your case doc, you know, your numbers, are cases that get continued and continued and continued. And so I don't let it sit. I'm done with the bench. I come in. Here goes that continuation letter straight out. He might as well have saved the stamp and walked out with it if he would have waited 10 minutes. So everything goes like that. So I set a docket. I walk in with 40 cases every Tuesday. But my ability at the bench is, you think you're going to be there all day, but I can promise you we'll be empty in an hour. Maybe it's because I can't sit more than an hour, but I can guarantee you I'm going to go through the list. I'm going to minimize out the ones that can get and get. I have the paperwork prepared at the bench. They do not have to go to a district clerk. You know, they walk out. Lawyers love it. They're walking in. Their defendants don't show. They're walking straight out with judgment. They're relieved right then and there. And so you get them kind of in order, and then you kind of save your longer ones for last so that people are moved out. They do freak out. They will be out of there in an hour. Unless I have a very long, small claims case. They've kept me for a few of those, so that's a little bit different. But for the most part, that's why they're going to walk out and they're going to tell you, oh, my God, she was fast, she was fair, she was honest, she was on it, she was good.
Cheryl Sachlebian is our guest on the Salary Topic Program. She's seeking the Republican nomination, seeking re-election for the Precinct 2 Justice of the Peace position. This is one of those jobs we talked about where they may not understand the court. And they may not have traditional issues that go with political campaigns. So how do you go about trying to help them understand why this should matter to them? Why they should care about who serves them and that JPC?
Okay, so I would use an example of most people that I interact with I don't know them. They have never been to the JP court. So I'm knocking on upwards of 600 doors. This is it every time. Hi, I'm Judge Cheryl. I'm your Justice of the Peace for the precinct. I know you wouldn't know that because you've probably never needed the services of the JP court, but this is what I'm going to tell you. I need your vote because for the people who do need the services of the JP court, I guarantee you that they are treated fairly. They are treated with respect and with friendliness as much as can be possible. So your vote is important for the people who do need the services. And I want people to understand that they're voting to make sure that people do have access to a good, fair, free system that just comes in and that they're able to, like I say, not always be satisfied, but definitely leave with understanding.
For years, I used to hear how Precinct 1 had all of these tickets from DPS and they were running through there because they were running a highway traffic and making sure people stayed safe out there. But I heard you say that you're getting a lot of that same sort of business now. Precinct 2 is growing at a rapid rate. You mentioned that, and I just look across the precinct and how much it has changed. It is going to continue to change, is it not? And what is that going to mean to the future of your court?
Well, it's going to grow. We already know that we're having to plan for this growth. Precinct 2 is just, you know, it. I have all the way from the Outlet Mall to Redwood to Martindale Staples, all the way around Starkey Park here to the college to the hospital here. It's a big area. So I do expect for the workload to increase. I'm going to tell you, the ladies at the sheriff's department, they know if I walk in and there's no tickets, it's a sad face. She knows when I see tickets, it's a woohoo. My girls are going to be so happy. You've never seen girls go like, ooh, we got tickets. You know, they get excited and they've got plenty to do. Love to get those tickets. When I go over to DPS, if we would were getting 6 to 10 tickets a month, more like 20 a week. It has really increased that much. A lot of it has been, I would have, a lot of those years, DPS were diverted to other parts of the state. And so now we have more here. They've also added more staff. So DPS is working our roads a bit more. And so DPS landing in my precinct, although DPS, they can actually file their ticket in whatever precinct they want. But I think that they're finding us to be on it and helping. Hunter's still going to get more of those tickets than I am. But they can't handle the caseload of the civil cases that I have as well either. And so we have a growing caseload for sure, but our clearance rate is amazing. Like I say, it's just getting the process done. So I think officers probably notice that and appreciate that too, because you're not going to get a warrant from my office a year or two later. I can tell you, you're going to know about that warrant in 3 months. You know, if a warrant has sat for 4 or 5 years, I'm pulling it out because I do not want somebody going to jail over a speeding ticket 5 years from now with their kid while they're sitting in Walmart. I figure if we haven't done our due diligence to get that person to get that warrant taken care of, that they shouldn't have it as a surprise here way later on into life. So we make sure that our process is intact. And people always have the right communication to know where they're at. They choose that they're going to get that warrant. And it's unfortunate. I hate that they do that because we don't try to actively go out and serve those warrants either. We just want you to see that you got the warrant. I'm going to mail you. When I issue a warrant, I'm going to mail you a card that says I've just issued you a warrant. Please call me again so we can clear this up.
Oftentimes when you have a longtime incumbent like you are in this particular race, you hear from challengers that they're going to come in, they want to do something different or they want to do something better. How do you counter that? Does your experience matter more than whatever else your opponent might be able to bring to this court?
Well, you know, of course, experience does make a very big difference. You know, I've had 15 years of the judicial classes, and it's the bench experience. It's what you get right here. You can't improve on my system. And there would be no system because no one else would know it and be as aggressive as I am. Extremely aggressive of my personality is just that way. I don't like to see things sit. I like to see things move along. I don't know that anybody else would do that. I think my biggest concern would probably be truancy, because the way our county is and doesn't really have a truancy procedure, policy, truancy court designation that I can follow. I'm not even required to take truancy cases, but I'm going to take those. And that's over 250 cases a year that I don't know that somebody else would take. And where would that resource go? You know, and truancy court is a resource. It's not a criminal proceeding. It is not I'm not on it. I've got 2 minutes to look a kid in the eyeball and hopefully he is hearing my words. If not, do you not see graduation in your future? Then this is what we're going to do next, because guess what, young man, in 3 months, I'm going to see you graduate because I've got a plan for you. So
let's talk a little bit about you being on the bench. I know for people who've been around a long time, they know that you've been involved in some other activities in this community in a number of ways. What do people need to know about Cheryl Sock-Layman beyond the bench?
Oh, beyond the bench. Well, I'm going to tell you that, I guess if I were to try to describe myself, I'm going to tell you, I do work very hard. I work fast. I talk fast. That's not going to change. I can always squeeze in one thing. It does not matter how busy my day is. If somebody asks me to drop something off or bring them lunch, I'm on it. I've got time to squeeze in a little bit of everything. Kind of amazes me sometimes because, you know, as we get older, we wonder. But I guess I would really want people to know that I love serving. I love helping people. I think that having someone that people can trust to go to, and a lot of that stems from Seguinu Services. So when I started Seguinu Services, that's actually how I ended up going into the JP. I was in a situation with a parent that was not getting good information from the court system. I knew nothing about it, so I looked into it more. And all I can remember after talking to this lady who I've had her kids, grandkids, and now her great grandkids for 30 years, beautiful, wonderful friend of mine. And I remember telling my husband, our precinct needs better. And then I think my next sentence was, they need me. You know, I know that what my heart is and what my talents are for working with people is what Precinct 2 needed. I don't know that I'd be any good at any other precinct. I'm perfect for Precinct 2. I relate. I know the people. Somebody asked me about signs in the yards the other day. I wouldn't need a map to pick up those signs. There's 250 signs out there right now. I wouldn't need a map because I know everybody's house that is. If my sign is in a yard, it's because it's somebody who... I was telling somebody, if you see 3 signs in a row on a street, it's not me being obsessive or trying to be like overbearing. This girl knows that she has a neighbor with you. She wants her sign in her yard as well. You ask for a sign, you're going to have a sign in your yard. Every sign that's anywhere is because somebody has asked for those signs. That's a good feeling, you know, because I not only do I know them, but there are people that I have a story that I kind of reflect on that kind of speaks to maybe the person I am at the bench that I might not have realized I was. But it was probably not 8 years ago when I ran, but maybe 12 years ago. I was putting up a sign on Wurzbach Street. A sign in a yard of a friend of mine, and a lady comes across the street, a young lady, and she's like, oh, hi, are you like Judge Cheryl? I go by Judge Cheryl, I'm perfectly good with that. And she wanted a sign in her yard, and I'm just like, oh, sure, baby, no problem. But do I know you? She's like, oh, you probably don't recognize me, but you evicted me once. And I went, oh, baby, I'm so sorry. She goes, oh, no, heck, you were so nice about it. And so that story just kind of reminds me why I'm there. Because people are going through hard times. They're there for a problem. When they are being evicted, every single one, I will say, do you have a plan? Do you have a place to go? Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, if they don't, they're going to leave with some resources. If that boy in truancy court is telling me he is 17 with 0 credits and does not see the possibility of him graduating, he's going to the Brody Academy, and I'm going to see him at graduation. There are just things that I can offer people that just comes from the youth center, from my ability to work with kids, to help people, that I think is just makes Precinct 2 is very unique. I'm very unique. Perfect fit.
We're going to run out of time, so I want to give you an opportunity to speak directly to the voters. They've got a decision to make. Why should Cheryl Sachleben receive their vote?
Well, I'm going to tell you, there's an old saying, you know, what is it? If the wheel's not broken, you don't fix it. I'm going to tell you, not only is it not broken, it's greased up and it's ready to roll. Our court moves along. We don't miss a beat. I'm not worried about if we get 3,000 more cases and we're prepared, and I don't need anybody else to help. I'm prepared to keep moving along. I know that I can look at anybody and I can tell you I work hard. I do a good job. I am a good judge. I'm worth your vote. And you can count on me to get it done.
Cheryl Sachleben is seeking re-election to the Precinct 2 Justice of the Peace seat here in Guadalupe County. Of course, Election Day is Tuesday, March 3rd. Early voting begins on Tuesday, February 17th. Cheryl Sachleben, good luck to you.
Thanks again, Darren. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more right after this.